Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Are you ready?
You are part of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Vamp Radio. As you can tell, we are one man short tonight. We are one man down. Unfortunately, DJ Tony is not able to make the show tonight, but welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, presented by the Amp Radio Network. This one we like to call Smack My Picks Up. And of course, as you heard at the top, it's going to be a kind of a combination show. We're going to do Smack My Picks Up, and then we're going to do a little Proteus's Primetime show as well, because there's a lot of news that's breaking right now, and everybody on the show wants to talk about it. So, as I had alluded to, we are going to talk about hashtag UFC Auckland coming at us from New Zealand this weekend. It's a normal time for us, everybody, but it's going to be like Sunday morning for the people in Auckland, New Zealand. So we feel for them. Get your drink on. Get your drink on. So let me break down the show real quick for everybody that's listening tonight. What we're going to do is we're going to do a little recap of UFC 212, because we did not do a This Week in MMA this week due to me needing to miss that for my wedding anniversary. So I do apologize to everyone. My wife was not having any of it. And also then we're going to move into addressing, as I said at the top of the show, UFC Auckland. This is going to be Lewis versus Hunt, big fight over there in Auckland, New Zealand. And then, of course, we are going to move into a little bit of Proteus's Primetime show at the end and just discuss some of the news and notes that have been happening this week in MMA, because I know Marco and Pam got some topics that they want to talk about, because there's just a little bit of news. Oh, yeah, that's right. I do have the shining stars of Smack My Picks Up coming at you right now. So let's go ahead and introduce them, bring them into the show. We're going to start with the first lady of Vamp Radio. Come on in, Pam.
Hey, everyone. Happy hump day. Hope y'all are doing well.
Happy what?
Hump day. Isn't today hump Wednesday, day? Right? Yeah, hump
it
day.
Is, yeah, absolutely.
Wednesday, yeah.
I just didn't hear exactly what you said. I apologize.
I thought maybe
bad.
Canadians didn't do hump day. Y'all don't do hump day up there?
It's cold 8 months of the year, so we like the hump day all along. You know how it is up here. We rolling strong. All right, let's bring in the star of the show, the one from deep, deep in the heart of Texas, Marco from Waco, brother.
Marco from Waco, brother. What's up?
What's up?
There you go. Hey. Somebody got to do it. It wouldn't be pretty strange without a what's up.
That's right. You are correct about that one. But listen, guys, we have to respect Pam's time today, so we need to kind of move through this show, and I apologize for that. But hey, Marco, just for you.
What's up?
What's up?
What's up?
That a boy. I appreciate it. Hey, before we move into the show, quick shout out to Dave Madden. He actually had me on his show on Monday evening at NorCal Fight MMA. That's the name of the podcast. So if you guys want to check that out, please do. So you guys heard me introduce the start of the show. That is the Amish show. Yes, my beard was very Amishy. You are correct. So, guys, you heard the intro. You heard the top of the show. We're going to start with UFC 212 because we didn't get to cover it at all. Well, I mean, Tony and I did not get to speak about it. So, and you guys both, when I talked to you yesterday, said that you both wanted to talk about UFC 212. So let's get into it real quick, do a little recap of, you know, maybe the top three fights, and then maybe get into what we thought about Asuncio Moraes as well. So let's start at the top of the card, Marco, and I'm going to throw to you first because something major happened in the featherweight division, and it was Aldo versus Holloway, and of course, Max Holloway is the new undisputed featherweight champ by getting a they're calling it a TKO KO, but you know, TKO in the third, pretty early in the third at 46 seconds. So Marco, let's throw to you first, for some reaction to what we saw, last weekend in Rio de Janeiro at UFC 212, Jose Aldo versus Max Holloway. Marco's on mute. Come on, Marco. Mute button.
It wasn't early on the third. It was late on the third after a two-minute beatdown. But what can I say? This is seismic. This is like a meteor hitting the air. It changes the whole topography of the featherweight division. And for once, I'm glad, man. It's the best thing that can happen to the featherweight division. Because if Aldo could have won, the shadow of McGregor is still going to loom big. Everybody talk about the 13 seconds, whether you call it a fluke punch or a flash knockdown or whatever, it happened on 13 seconds and it still burned heavy on the mind of the fans. This left no doubt of who was the winner. I mean, granted that the first and the second round on the judges' scorecards were for Jose Aldo, you could tell on the second round, late on the second, the momentum shifted. You could tell that even though he won the round, he was not going to win the fight. And on the third, Max Holloway put a beatdown on Aldo that left no doubt anybody's mind who was the better fighter. That 1-2, 1-2 hook combination that he hit Aldo with was a thing of beauty. And then how relentless this kid was, taking Aldo apart surgically on the ground. He didn't exert himself. He didn't, punch himself out. And he kept floating and floating and didn't let Aldo escape when he was in trouble. Bottom line is, man, Max Holloway is a 25-year-old kid that is a future star. Let's not shit on Jose Aldo. His legacy is set in cement. He was the best featherweight in the planet for 10 years. So people that are shitting on Aldo's legacy, you people should bury yourself in the sand all the way to your neck and let freaking ants eat you. Because you don't know what you're talking about if you freaking think that Aldo was never a good fighter. Just look at the list of freaking the scalps that he got on his resume. But Max Holloway is the future, and the future is now. Let's put a push on this kid, and let's take it to freaking Hawaii! Frankie Edgar versus Holloway in Aloha Stadium. Please! Let's do this. Let's all be myopic, and you got this other kid, Jesse Medeiros, early winning. Then you got Travis Brown, and you can even put BJ Penn. You already got a main card right there. Give me a break. Aloha Stadium.
Yeah, and again, my apologies, Marco. As you pointed out, I did say that incorrectly. It was near the end of the third round at 46 seconds left in the round. My apologies. Starting this show and running the board all together is a little stressful. My apologies. So let's move on to Pam. Your reaction for the featherweight title fight, Jose Aldo versus Max Holloway?
Well, I had, I had picked Aldo to win. I mean, I like Max Holloway, but I had picked Aldo to win only, I think more for maybe sentimental reasons, but you know what? I wasn't upset that he lost because he has left a legacy. And, you know, when people talk about his career will forever be tarnished by those 13 seconds, well, then that's like saying McGregor's career is tarnished by tapping out like a little bitch to Nick. So, you know, I was kind of sad because it's kind of sad to see the end of an era. But at the same time, Max Holloway, man, I think he's just going to breathe new life to this division. He wants to fight. He's already talked about how he's not going to be one of those that sits up and holds up the division. He wants to fight. And I just think it's refreshing that you have this guy. He's so charismatic, and he's just an amazing fighter. And, you know, maybe this is kind of like the kick in the butt that the UFC needs right now to you know, get it started again, because I think it kind of took jumped the shark, you know, for a little bit there with all these ridiculous fights that they're doing. And so hopefully this puts them back on track. But, you know, a little, you know, sad for Aldo, but, you know, he was, you know, the guy for 10 years, and you can't take anything away from him. But it, like Marco said, it's, you know, up in the new generation is coming, and we have to make way for the new generation. I mean, there's so many young new fighters coming up, and, you know, you got to say bye to the old guys. But I'm not sad about it. You know, I'm really happy, and I really hope that he holds his title for a long time, because he has no place to go but up, you know.
Just a little caveat. I mean, let's not call Aldo old. He's only 30 years old. And how shitty it is that 2 weeks before this fight, they released a movie based on his life in Brazil, where like, the biggest, like the major soap opera freaking actors in Brazil, and then he loses 15,000 very sad Brazilians. But that is life, man. That is the fight game.
Wait, you get looking.
Well, in my mind, this is what the scenario that I wanted was that he would win and then retire, and then say, okay, you know what, I'm done, you know. But c'est la vie.
Okay, let me weigh in on this quickly, guys.
Okay.
It was not a shock to me that Holloway won. I again, like you said, Marco, it's like comparing Chuck Liddell and comparing or judging him because he got knocked out two times at the end of his career. You know what I mean? Like, Chuck Liddell is still a superstar. You know what I mean? We don't look down on Chuck Liddell because he started getting chinny. In fact, we're probably all pretty excited about the fact that, you know, he might fight Tito Ortiz again in Bellator. So all of this talk about Jose Aldo's legacy being affected by losing to Conor McGregor and then, of course, losing to Max Holloway is ridiculous. I find it just utterly ridiculous. I mean, as you guys have mentioned on Smack My Picks Up last week, I mean, Jose Aldo is the greatest featherweight of all time. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, Conor McGregor never defended that belt, even though he beat Jose Aldo in 13 seconds. He's never defended that belt, relinquished it while the UFC stripped him. And that's just that's going to have an asterisk beside it. Jose Aldo, like you guys said, was the original champ and held that belt until he got defeated in 13 seconds by Conor McGregor. And there's no shame in, you know, being an older fighter and maybe being near the end of your career and maybe fighting at the wrong weight class. I mean, maybe it's time for Jose Aldo to move up to 55s and pursue his career there. I was very happy for Max Holloway. I thought it was a masterful performance. And if you guys need any of that breakdown of how the fight went, look at Luke Thomas's Monday morning breakdown, and you guys you'll see how masterful it was. Anyways, let's move on, because we had a very, very exciting fight. I mean, it didn't last very long, guys, but, you know, Claudia Gadelha versus KK, Karolina Kowalkiewicz. I always have problems with that. I apologize to everybody who's listening in Poland.
Kowalkiewicz.
Yes, thank you.
Kowalkiewicz.
Everyone from Poland who is listening, because they are on our top list of people who listen. We have a lot of listeners from Poland, so thank you, Marco, for fixing that. This was a serious shock to me. I mean, there was obviously a major mistake that happened here, Pam, you know, by KK, and Claudia did not waste any time capitalizing on that mistake. What are your thoughts on this fight? And break it down for us, Bam. What do you think is next in this division? Because JJ needs an opponent.
Well, you know, I don't know who she would fight next, because she's already fought Claudia and she's already fought KK. And just to remind y'all, I picked Claudia. But anyway, you know what? They're even having talk about Claudia fighting Jessica Andrade. So I don't know about that. But I would like to see her fight Rose. I think that would be an interesting fight for JJ. I think that would be pretty interesting. You know, get some new blood in there and see what happens. But I was really pleased with the way this fight went. You know, like I said, I just thought that Claudia was going to be too strong for KK, especially that she's changed camp and is now with Jackson Wink. And she said she's reinvented herself. So she's a completely, the old Claudia is gone and it's a new Claudia now. So I thought it was great, a great fight. I thought she was, she did great, a great fight.
Yeah, and Marco, as Pam had said, I'm very excited to see what comes out of this camp change. And I know that you have something to say about this fight, Marco, so let's throw to you on your thoughts on Claudia Gadelha versus KK.
Well, I cannot deny that she looked impressive. And it's no surprise that she took it to the ground, because we know that it's a stronger suit. She's an outstanding grappler. Maybe more impressive. More than being impressed with Claudia Gadelha's ground game, I was a little bit disappointed with the lack of submission defense from Carolina Kowalkiewicz. Something that is going to have to short up if she wants to stay up on the upper rank. She's an outstanding striker. And I think if this could have been a striking battle, she would have come out on the winning end. But Claudia is a smart fighter, and she took it where she's the strongest and finished it quick. That said, it's a tough spot for Claudia to be, because she's on the same spot that Chad Mendes and Frankie Edgar and freaking Joseph Benavides were for a long time, you know. Frankie losing to Aldo twice, Chad Mendes losing to Aldo twice, and then Benavides losing to Demetrius twice. It's very hard to make a case for a third fight. You know, Claudia has lost twice to the champion, and the second time, it was a beatdown. And everybody saw the beatdown. Yeah, she won the first two rounds. The last three, she got her ass handed to her. So I got a little bit of a problem of her claiming to be the best strawweight in the planet. When we saw that was not the case, Joanna is still the champion, and until she takes it from her, she's still going to be number two. Granted, I don't think there is anybody better than her, you know, besides Joanna Jędrzejczyk. I think she's going to be the gatekeeper to Joanna, like the same way Joseph Benavides is. You're going to have to go through her to be able to get to Joanna. I don't think Rosna Majunas will beat her. I don't think Alice Passa will beat her. I don't think Jessica Andrade will beat Claudia Gadelha. Claudia Gadelha is the second best strawweight in the planet. I truly believe if they make a 125-pound division, like they say they're going to, Claudia will be well-served to go and get the belt before Joanna, you know, steps up, get the bill at 125, and then you make a super fight. That would be the play for her to get that third fight with Joanna Jędrzejczyk, but it won't be at 115, it will be at 125.
If Claudia Gadelha's camp is listening right now, please listen to Marco, because that's an excellent idea. That is the way to do it. That is the way to move around in this new UFC. That great idea, Marco. That just blew my mind. So just to comment on the fight myself, I picked KK in this fight. I thought she would be able to be dominant on the feet. But one thing that I didn't mention on Smack My Picks Up, and I didn't want to mention, and I know, you know, it's like a fighter saying I got an injury at the end of a fight, but KK just looked a little bit too relaxed on the embedded show, you know what I mean? And also at the beginning of the fight, I mean, usually she does do that, you know, leaning back, relaxing, but it just looked like she was a little too relaxed. And another thing that I wanted to comment on here is something that, you know, Pam brought up with the move to Albuquerque and the move to a major camp, we're seeing that these moves to a major camp are beneficial. I mean, a JJ moved to ATT, and she looks very improved just by from her last fight. Claudia obviously looks much improved from her last fight. And Marco, like you said, if she can become a beast, and if they do after this whole 125 comes out, and JJ has said that, you know, she wants to defend the belt a bit, that's a pretty good idea. I do think that is fantastic. Okay, one more fight, guys, here, and I think this one is important to speak about, Marco. Vitor Belfort versus Nate Marquardt. Maybe a little bit of home cooking here, Marco. I don't know if you're going to mention that in your breakdown, but let's throw to you and get your thoughts on this fight.
I'm going to rant. So TR Titor and Nate, the great user Marquardt, they had their fight. I told you before that the loser, Jesus doesn't love them no more, so they had to renounce their religion. So from now on, the Marquardt has to worship Cthulhu. From now on, because he lost. Now, all that said, I wasn't too upset with the decision. I thought it could have gone either way. Vitor, for all his fouls, for all the front runner status and stuff, he fought a smart fight. I can make an argument that like 45-second blitz he did on Marquardt on the second was not enough to win him the round, but for me, that was the most significant action of the whole round. And then he clearly won the third. But that is the second round, the round of dispute, because I think the first round was all Nate Marquardt. But Vitor won, and then we come to find out Vitor still got one more fight left on his UFC contract, and then he went to fight five more times, and according to him, he wants to fight on the UFC. So this was not retirement. This is all a freaking smoke and mirrors for Vitor Belfort. Do I want to see him fight again? Don't really care. He's a valuable asset for the Brazilian market because, let's call it spade a spade, the guy is huge in Brazil. They idolize this student there. And if you want to make a good poster or a billboard every time you go to Brazil, that's Vitor Fight there. Let me to fight people that are not relevant on the division, though. Like, freaking amusement fights. Like, this Nate Marquardt fight was a perfect fight. Something like that, yeah.
Absolutely. I'm with it.
Let's do a quasi-legend freaking division for Vitor, where he fight people that are not really at the upper echelon. You know what? I think a good fight for him now. Rashad Evans, Vitor Belfort for a 185. Rashad is coming from a loss from Dan Kelly. And Vitor have a good win. They are about the same age. That would be an amazing fight. Yeah. And it's very marketable. And it can even headline a fight night or a Fox Sports fight in Brazil. There you go. That's my take.
Pam, Marco brings up some good points, and I want for you to comment on them. But I also want you to give your comments on what you thought about the decision and the fight in general. Please go.
Okay, well, I had predicted this fight to go a third-round decision for Nate. I thought Nate was going to win this fight. And so I predicted a third-round decision, and oh, my God, I wish it would have lasted that long. Jeepers. But, you know, this is truthfully, this is one of those fights where I was putting dishes away, unloading the dishwasher, coming back to peek. And in truth, I really didn't care who won this fight. I had picked Nate only because Vitor had looked so horrible his last couple of fights. And, you know, going back to what we had discussed before, you're in Brazil, Brazilian judges, you know, but when he said, you know, when everybody's expecting, you know, thank you, Brazil, you know, my last fight, when he says, and I have five more fights. Oh, my God, that was, I wanted to poke a pin in my eye. I'm like, please, no. You know, but it's like Marco said, he should fight just for entertainment because anymore, it's not even fun to watch. You know, you're just, that, you know what, this fight is, this is like your potty break fight, or, you know, go do your beer run real quick, or, you know, fix drinks real quick fight, where you're not really interested, that, you know, call me when it ready to announce it. So it really wasn't a favorite on my list. And even though I called a third round decision, I really regretted wanting it to go on that long. So, you know,
it's all your fault, Black Bomb. It's all your fault.
Oh, I know, right? God, but, you know, whatever.
Well,
I'm neither here nor there on this fight.
We can't blame Pam for wanting to see a boring fight. No, listen, guys, this fight actually wasn't that boring. I'm going to be honest with you. I watched the whole fight. I watched the whole fight, and I've watched these guys come up, you know, over the years, and like Marco said, this was exactly the perfect fight. These two fellas are exactly, you know, almost the same age. Nate Marquardt really impressed me in this fight, and whether or not you think he won the fight, I think he did. I'm going to go on record and saying that I thought that Nate won that fight. Yeah, of course, Marco, you give Vitor the third, absolutely. But I think that Nate did enough in the first two, you know, kind of taking it to Vitor, you know, to get those first two rounds. Go ahead.
I wish that he would have implemented more of his wrestling. I mean, he's got that big wrestling background, you know.
He got the takedown on the first, and he never went back to it. So, yeah, I was surprised too.
Yeah. I think he was just kind of afraid.
Well, it kind of goes back to Aldo not using kicks. What happened? It was just so weird,
Again, I think that we saw the same thing in this fight as we saw in the Aldo Holloway fight. Holloway didn't throw any kicks either. You know what I mean? Not that Jose Aldo didn't throw any kicks. Max Holloway didn't throw any kicks either. So, you know, they both probably were considering, you know, the fact that if they threw kicks, it might hurt them because they're stronger, you know, stand-up fighters. And I think this is what happened exactly in Vitor Belfort versus Nate Marquardt. Now, one thing I wanted to say here, because something you guys had said is that, you know, you don't really want to see this fight. It's not very interesting to you. Okay, so Marco, let's throw to you real quickly. Do you think, honestly, I mean, Vitor Belfort has one more fight on his contract, but I don't know if the only reason I think that the UFC keeps or holds on to Vitor Belfort is his connection to Brazil and the fact that Globo and that country really loves him. And we heard Dana White say this for, you know, years, that was the reason that Vitor Belfort was fighting in Brazil, was because Globo wanted him. Do you think that's the only reason for him to stay in the UFC? Sorry.
When Vitor fights in Brazil, like 10 to 15 million people watch him in Globo.
Exactly.
Think about that. So that is a very good reason to keep him in the roster. Like I said, we're very myopic in the United States because we think that we in America are the end-all, be-all of the ratings of the fighters, man. But you got to say, that especially these international fighters, their localized appeal to their market is huge. And Globo is a big partner of the UFC. And they kind of sort of have a way to demand, okay, we're giving you this space, we're transmitting this for free to all of Brazil, you know, advertising. We paid the UFC good money for getting good fights, and we want Vitor. And they'll get Vitor. That's why he afforded Brazil so much. It's not because they're going to protect Vitor Bell for sending it to Brazil. It is because Globo demands that Vitor be on their cards.
Yeah. Great point,
well,
Marco.
You know what? I think
okay,
it
guys,
is
listen.
Too,
yes, please, please, Mark. Please,
just real quick, I think it is too. Is just Brazil loves their fighters. I mean, they're not like us, but we're, you know, so fickle. They absolutely love their fighters. So, you know, kudos to them.
Oh, absolutely.
For show.
Okay, guys, we've gone 8 minutes over how much I wanted to spend on that card because, of course, we have a fight card coming up this weekend. And then, of course, we are a picks show. Hashtag smack my picks up. So let's get into the picks here. And, of course, we have decided, in order for us to not spend too much time, because, as I said at the top of the show, Pam has time constraints tonight, so we need to get her out of here in a reasonable fashion. Get into what is Derek Lewis versus Mark Hunt. And, of course, what we're going to do on this card, guys, is we're going to give you the main fight and the co-main event, and then we're going to do something a little bit different today. And I know DJ Tony is not going to approve of me giving these guys leeway to do this, but because we found the card a little bit weak, I'm going to go ahead and say you can do your spotlight fight of the night from any other fight that is not the main event or the co-main event. So Pam, I believe it is your turn to start here. Let's get you to break down here for us. Derek Lewis versus Mark. Is it your turn, brother?
Before you start, DJ,
yes, sir.
Tony, by the powers appointed over me, by the MMA Junkie Nation, of me being one of the best callers ever, I annoyed a veto power so you can do whatever the hell you want on this show, brothers. There you go. So, Tony, shut your mouth.
For show.
Now, are we starting with Derek Brunson or starting from the bottom to the top?
No, ma'am. We are going to not start from the bottom to the top today. Like Marco just said, I am going to change all the rules.
All right.
And we are going to start
right
with
on.
Derek Lewis versus Mark Hunt.
Because this is the main event.
This is really the only fight that I really want us to talk about, because this is very exciting for the UFC heavyweight division. So, Pam, let's go to you. Let's get your breakdown. Let's get your pick. And remember, not only do we want your finish, but we also want what round?
Bueno, te digo en inglés o en español.
Bueno.
Anyways.
Either or. Whatever you want to do. Maybe both.
Okay, so.
Because I won't understand
Derek
the Spanish.
Lewis. Okay. The Spanglish. Okay, so Derek Lewis and Mark Hunt. I think this is going to be a fun fight. We got Derek Lewis, number 6, and Mark Hunt at number 7, fighting at home. I am going with Derek Lewis. He bigger, a longer reach. He's coming off a 6-win streak. He's got 16 wins by KO or TKO. His 4 losses have been 2 by KO and 2 by decision. Boxing, he's a boxer, but I do question his cardio and his digestive problems because his fights always end in a first, second round. You know, Mark Hunt, on the other hand, he's coming off of 1 loss and 1 no contest to Lesnar and Overeem, which even his win to Overeem, you know, was questionable because he was allowed to use IV. And I'm questioning him, is he just fighting to finish out his contract? He's got all these legal issues. Is that going to be a distraction for him? I don't question his cardio because his last 2 fights, he's gone the distance. But I think that Derek Lewis, with his KO power, I'm picking Derek by a second round, either KO or TKO.
Okay.
Marco,
what you got?
Okay, so I see kind of sort of eye to eye with Pammy here. I am picking Derek Lewis because he has been the more consistent fighter. He has 6 wins in a row, all of them by knockout. The guy, technically speaking, is not the most technical fighter. I mean, Mark Hunt is a superior striker. Mm-hmm. But something that Derek Lewis has is raw power. And the guy is beastly. When he hits you, his night lights out. Now, let's not start with his gastric problems. I think he didn't have gastric problems in his Travis Brown fight. He got 2 broken ribs. That's why the guy was holding his belly. Like, the far part, that was a joke. Of course, Terry Lewis is a silly goose. But he got 2 broken ribs, and he finished the fight with 2 broken ribs. So this guy got hard, and kudos to him. because, you know, if you ever have a broken rib, you know, it's like you cannot even breathe. I see that he's a smart fighter, and I think that he kind of sort of is, you know. He sort of want to make this a striking battle. He's going to want to make it dirty. He's going to want to take Mark Hunt down if he can, because Mark Hunt is difficult to take down, and follow the blueprint that Brock Lesnar did with Hunt. Get his body in the ground and ground and pound him. And I think Derrick Lewis' ground and pound is second to none. If you get ground and pound by Derrick Lewis, you get finished. I'm going to pick Derrick Lewis to win by knockout on the third.
Wow. Okay, well, I've had a little bit of a back and forth on this fight, guys. As we've seen a lot lately, in, you know, kind of the main cards on the UFC the UFC's shows, this one I've been going back and forth on, and I think I'm going to take Hunt. And just because of what you guys are going to, that you have been saying here, I think Mark Hunt is the superior striker, because he's been in the game for so long. And like you said, I believe it was Marco, you said that this could be a test for Derrick Lewis. And I think it's going to be a test for Derrick Lewis. And whether or not he comes out on top, would I be surprised, Marco, if he came out on top? No, I wouldn't be. I wouldn't be surprised if he got that KO in the first or in the second or in the third. But then again, guys, I wouldn't be surprised if Mark Hunt got that in the first or the second or the third either. You know what I mean? I mean, he's in his own time zone. He's, you know, in his hometown. That's very big for him. And as we've heard on Junkie Radio, Derrick Lewis does not like to travel. And probably this is the farthest that he's ever had to travel. And hopefully he's getting some of that BK or McDonald's or whatever he likes to eat that he gets in the States to fuel his fire. I'm going to take Mark Hunt. And I'm going to take him fairly early in the first. I don't think he gets out of the first. Mark Hunt in the first. KO.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that. We saw what Mitrion did to Derrick Lewis, so, and what Sean Jordan, of all people, did to him. So, yeah, I'm going to be surprised either. Good pick.
Pam?
I think it's going to be a fun fight. I think it's going to be a fun fight. I just want to, I hope that they do, yeah. What is it called, a haka? Is that what it's called?
Did you see what it did for Mark Hunt?
Oh, man, I thought it was amazing. Beautiful, I thought it was just absolutely beautiful.
Yeah,
and if you heard him on the MMA Hour on Monday, he was very surprised. And haka does not just, you know, you can't just do it. It takes a lot of practice, and those guys, they wanted to send him off right. And that, you know what I mean, guys, this sport does show a lot of respect every now and then, and that right there was a major sign of respect for, you know, the big guy on campus at their gym, and very cool to see. So that, yeah, you know, I'm down with you guys. Perfect stuff. Okay, so let's move on to the co-main event. You know, we've got another tough fight, because no one expects Daniel Kelly to win anything, and then of course he comes out and wins everything. So number eight, Derek Bronson versus Daniel Kelly. Of course, Derek Bronson hailing from the United States of America, and Daniel Kelly being in his own time zone, hailing from Australia. I don't know where he was training for this fight, but of course he is hailing from Australia. So I believe, Marco, is it time to start with you again, or is it Pam? I lost where we were at there.
And I tell you what, man, I am all in the Daniel Kelly dad butt hype train. This guy is put up with cut tape. He gets his knee all wrapped up. He looks like, man, he should be taking the kids to freaking school on the freaking band. he looks like he shouldn't be in the cage, but he keeps freaking winning. And for one reason or another, I am rooting for this guy. This has nothing to do with analysis. Yep. This got nothing to do with what will make more sense. This is all my heart. I so much want Dan Kelly to win. He is 40 years old. He's on the 40s club like me. So I want to pick Daniel Kelly on a very gritty, very ugly, very Daniel Kelly-like unanimous decision, 29-28. He's going to surprise Bronson. He's going to be on his face. Bronson is gonna not going to be able to do what he wants. He's not going to be able to take this guy down because, let's not forget, Kelly is an Olympic judoka, so he got those weird hips and core strength, you know, that like what Joe Rogan said, the chimpanzee strength. So, yeah, Kelly on a 29-28 unanimous decision. Go that butt.
Yeah, go that bad indeed. All right, Pam, let's move to you. Co-main event of UFC Auckland, Derek Bronson versus Daniel Kelly. Please go.
Okay, I've got Daniel Kelly with – I see him in a minivan, come into, you know, the fight in a minivan. But, you know, he's 6 foot – I was going to say 6-0, 6 foot, and Derek is 6'1". Derek's got a 7-inch reach advantage. Daniel Kelly, are men called judokas also, or are they judokos? I don't know. But judo.
Judoka.
Okay. He's coming off 4 straight wins. All of them have gone the distance, 3 rounds. 4 of his last wins have been by decision. He is a purple belt in jiu-jitsu. But my question is, even though he has fought well, because I actually watched one of his fights this morning while before I was going to work, where he fought Antonio Carlos, who, besides Kamosi and an aging Rashad, you know, has he fought? And when you go to Derek Brunson, he was on a 5-win streak until his loss to Silva and Whitaker. And he also has a loss to Joel Romero and to Jacare Souza, which, I mean, that's not, you know, those aren't scrubs to be losing to. He's a boxer, a wrestler. He's a blue belt, a 3-time Division II All-American wrestler. Last of his 4 wins were first-round KOs or TKOs. Cardio, I do question his cardio because the last time he went 3 rounds, aside from the Silva, was in August of 2014. But given that, I think he's looking for some kind of redemption. He does have the speed. He does have the power. If he stays focused, I'm looking for him to win. I hadn't picked a method yet, but I am going to say decision. It's going to go to a decision for Derek Brunson. I don't want to go KO. I think it's going to be decision. But that's my pick.
Well, I'm the best.
Yeah. He better don't go like a chin first like he did with Robert Whittaker.
Oh, he went like he was on roller skates. Who was the one that he went off cycle with? Which looked like he was like on ice or something. Do you remember? Was it Silva?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. We're all crazy. Yeah.
Bobby Knuckles.
Marco? Bobby Knuckles, indeed. Yeah. Okay.
So what's your pick?
So here's my pick. Here's my pick. Mm-hmm. It's very hard for me to pick against Daniel Kelly. I'm going to be honest with you guys. You know, unfortunately, he just seems to have, you know, like you guys said, that dad bod. And when you guys were saying the minivan, it reminded me of Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
You?
Do you remember Mr. and Mrs. Smith? When, yeah, but the movie, not just... me, but the movie, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt, and they're in the minivan and they're fighting off the three BMWs that are tinted out. Brangelina, exactly. Anyways, that reminded me of that. So I'm going to take Daniel Kelly. I'm going to take him by third round decision. I'm going to take him by third round decision. That's what I'm feeling. I feel like, even though the reach advantage is in Derek Bronson's corner, he's going to be coming out tentative. He's going to be on the other side of the world. I know he has got that knockout power, but I think that Daniel Kelly, I can't bet against him. I have to take him, and I'm going to take him by third round decision. I know that's a puss move, but I'm going to take him by third round decision.
Okay. You know, and Derek is yeah, Derek is a hometown boy from Wilmington, so I got to support my hometown boy.
Yes, I know.
For
please don't
sure.
let me down.
All right, guys. So let's go, and because we're swiftly running out of time, and we're I don't know if we're gonna have enough time to speak about current events so quickly. Pam, let's start with you. Spotlight fight of the night. I don't need you to break it down. I don't need a decision or anything like that. I just need your pick. Pam, spotlight
Dominic
fight of the Steel. Night.
Dominic Steel and the Shadow Man, Luke Jameau, the Jedi.
Marco, spotlight fight of the night.
Team Elliot versus Ben.
I'm picking up Team Elliot because he's Team Elliot. And
okay, can you say that one more time because it kind of got messed up? Can you say it again, please?
You said
Team
Elliot.
Did we lose Marco?
I think so.
I know. I want him to say it. I want Marco. Are you there?
Hey, him
Marco.
Up?
Marco, test 1, 2. Yeah,
hello?
I can hear you now. Can you say it again, please?
I said Team Elliot over Ben Wynn, just because I want Team Elliot to win and get another title shot.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Marco, for that. From repeating yourself, I'm going to take Ross Pearson. Let's do Dan Hooker. The way it's set on the bill, Dan Hooker versus Ross Pearson. I'm very, very interested to see where Ross Pearson is, and I think Dan Hooker is a killer. So that's my spotlight fight of the night. And that spotlight fight of the night brings it to an end. And let's move on to what you guys think are some of the major news notes of the week. I know, Marco, that you have some serious opinions about something that's going on this week. So let's move on to you, and I'm trying to look for a drop that might help you out here, but maybe we'll just do this. Thank you, Brian Callen.
Hey, can you hear me better now? Because my mic dropped for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Check out the big brain on Brad.
So, let's talk
yes,
about
sir. We can hear you.
Well, let's talk about the Demetrius Johnson situation.
Yeah.
Demetrius dropped the bomb on a Monday with his long Facebook post and then his long interview with Ariel Helwani on the MMA Hour. And you know, everybody knows that I'm one of the biggest UFC homers in the planet. I will go to bed for the UFC for almost anything. But on this one, I can. In this one, the evil empire has shown their colors and I cannot go to the dark side with them this time. First of all, I was highly surprised that in 10 title defenses, the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world has never, ever got pay-per-view points. That really, really pissed me off. Second, that they told DJ that TJ Dillashaw wanted his fight. With all due respect to TJ Dillashaw, I'm a fantastic fighter, former champion. Who the fuck is TJ Dillashaw compared to the 10-time defending flyweight champion Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson? What the hell? And then they come with this freaking, oh, if you don't take this fight, we'll get rid of the division. So guess what, Demetrius? Call their motherfucking bluff. Freaking take the division out. See what happens. You don't think that freaking Demetrius Johnson wouldn't go to one championship to fight Viviano Fernandez or Kaitar Akhmedov? You know?
I do.
Matt Hume, his freaking coach, wars for one championship. One championship will throw brick loads of freaking goals at the feet of Demetrius Johnson to make him fight on Singapore or the Philippines, where, by the way, one championship is worth $1 billion. Because the state of Singapore owns part of the company. $1 billion. Take notice of that. Like, we say Bellator is the second biggest company in the market. We are wrong.
Yep.
It is one championship.
We are.
Because we don't see it in America, because we're too myopic to see it, we don't realize that it's a lot happening in Southeast Asia. And you're going to get rid of a whole division? Okay, what is the point of having Team Elliot, Ben Wynn, John Morales on this card this weekend then? You know? Let all those guys go. I tell you one even better. if Demetrius Johnson is let go from the UFC, Bellator will make a 125 division in a heartbeat just to have the freaking kudos of having the best fighter on the planet. To promote that on free TV for freaking Bellator is gold for them. On this one, I am completely disagree with freaking the UFC and Dana White. TJ Dillashaw went on the five-round podcast with Brett Okamoto from ESPN, and he was disappointed with him. He was towing the line of the company, the UFC. A guy that just earlier this year was standing with George St. Pierre and Cain Velasquez and freaking old and Tim Kennedy trying to get an association. And now he's like, oh no, but TJ's scared. He doesn't want to fight me. He should take this fight because that's what's going to get. TJ, shut up. The only reason that you went down, want to went down to 135 is because Cody Garbrandt got hurt. Why don't you wait for your fight? Why don't you freaking get an interim title shot on the freaking division, get a rematch with Dominic Cruz for an interim instead of wreaking havoc on the 125 division? To be honest, at the beginning, one more point. At the beginning, I liked the idea of a TJ Dillashaw, Demetrius Johnson fight. I really liked the idea. But the way they're going to try to force this and trying to like shove it into Demetrius Johnson, this is going to sound super, super bad. But they're treating Demetrius Johnson like the house Negro. Bend over and take it in the ass, Demetrius. And whatever freaking demands you want or you have, we are not going to accept it. What if freaking TJ doesn't make freaking weight? Freaking DJ doesn't have to take a fight. Doesn't have to say, oh, Ray Bork is in the same car with the ticket. No, I prepare myself for freaking TJ Dillashaw, not freaking another fighter. He doesn't make weight, the fight is up, and that is his absolute right to do that. So that is my rant. Take it for
what and not only that, to add insult to injury, they were saying that they would have Ray Borg waiting in the wings just in case TJ didn't make weight. But how many times
who the fuck is
Ray
that
Borg
guy?
Not, yeah, how many times has he not made weight himself? So how let's put more salt in the wound. And then to top it off, then you have Henry Cejudo jumping in there now, saying that he'll take the fight. And then you have another guy that has issues making weight.
See, even if Henry Cejudo took the fight, I wouldn't have an issue with it because at least he has proven to be able to make the fight. And by rankings, he's the next logical contender. You know, Joseph Benavidez is the number one contender, without a doubt, but he's hurt. He's out of the picture. Mm-hmm. He was supposed to fight this weekend. He can't do it. Then you got Cejudo, and if Cejudo will step up to the plate, great. But Ray Bull, by the rankings, is the number three guy, so he is the next logical guy. And I don't have a problem with Ray Borg. I even didn't have a problem with the TJ Dillashaw fight, don't get me wrong. On paper, that fight is fantastic. But the way they went about it is completely and absolutely disrespectful to Demetrius Johnson because he doesn't have any say on it. And when he tried to negotiate some guarantees, they told him straight up no. And that is fucking bullshit.
Pam?
Well, you know what? That goes back to, because I tagged all four of you guys on the article when I read it when it came out this morning, but that goes back to the monster that Dana created and everybody wanting to pick and choose their own fights instead of, okay, let's do it the way it's supposed to be done. I hope that DJ calls his bluff and says, okay, get rid of it. Get rid of it and see what happens. And the thing that kind of bothers me is that people say that it's boring. And it's not boring. I think it's probably boring for the newbies or the bandwagon fans that don't really know anything about the fights. But, I mean, it's a, you know, to me, when you see the smaller weights, they are action-packed, you know. And granted, no, they aren't the bigger guys, but I've always enjoyed it. So, and the thing is, are they boring because he is just that good that he doesn't make mistakes? Or you know, are they boring because they're not heavyweights and they're not knocking each other out, you know? So I think
look,
it's, you know, the football fans.
Yeah. They made the division 5 years ago when nobody was asking for it. But when they make it,
yep.
we find out we got the best fighter on the planet, Demetrius Johnson. And I seen all this getting rid of the division is just a bully tactic to take make
mm-hmm.
Demetrius take the fight. If that was the case, why the hell do they got Sergio Pettis and Brandon Moreno headlining in Mexico in less
mm-hmm.
than a month?
Yep.
You know, that is just all a smoke
yep.
and mirrors
yep.
to force Demetrius Johnson to take a fight that, in all honesty, he doesn't have to take. He got a point. He's an independent contractor. You offer him a fight, and it's up to him to take the fight or deny the fight. And he's the champion, so he should have a say on it. And if he wants to take the fight, give him some guarantees or pay the man and pay him what he's worth. That is a lot because right now, according to the UFC himself, Demetrius Johnson is the best pound-for-pound fighter in the planet, so pay him accordingly.
Championship.
I agree with both of you guys, and hang on, Pam. I did have this conversation on the at NorCal Fight MMA podcast. We had this exact same conversation, guys, and you guys are backing me up. I love it. We didn't even talk about this, but look, guys, we are swiftly running out of time on this podcast, and we want to respect Pam's time restraints. So, listen, guys, what I want you guys to do, Pam, if you've got one more news article put out there, I would like for us to talk about your news article because, you know, we could talk about DJ versus TJ for hours. But let's get you to get your your news article out. And then, of course, guys, at the end of the show, what I want you to do, please, if I can, bring your notes back to recap the fight picks that you guys had picked for UFC Auckland. Pam, what is your news and notes of the week that you would like to discuss?
Well, something kind of fun and kind of exciting. I mean, I think it's exciting, but that Jason Knight is replacing the Korean Zombie versus Ricardo Lamas. That is
yes.
going to be a fun fight.
Yes.
That is going to be freaking awesome.
Woo. I call it. As soon as I find out the Korean Zombie was freaking out, I was calling freaking Jason Knight versus Ricardo Lamas, make it happen. I put it on Twitter, and it's happening, and I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Check out the big brain on bread.
How fun is that? I was just so excited when I saw that. It's like, oh, my God. So that's my news.
You can tell I am on the Jason Hick Diaz Knight bandwagon. I love that kid. I love what he...
Isn't he awesome? I love him. I'm hoping just really good things for him. I just hope he does well.
Yeah, he doesn't need to be fishing catfish anymore. He needs to be fighting on the gym all the time and moving out of the little last town in Alabama or whatever the hell he's from. And
Mississippi.
Even worse. Oh, my God. He's going to marry his sister. He stays there. He needs to move out of Mississippi, move into a big camp, and let's start polishing this guy to be the great fighter I see he can become because him and Jael Rodriguez, I see that the future of the featherweight division did. I truly, truly, truly believe that. And then you got Duho Choi, and the Koreans
mm-hmm.
get a little older, but these are guys that are going to carry the division for like a long time. And I was so excited when I found out that Jason the Kid Knight is replacing the Korean Zombie. Sucks for the Korean Zombie because I'm a big Korean Zombie fan, and hopefully he gets healthy soon. But man, I'm so excited for this fight.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Sorry, I got too excited. I know I
Excellent,
didn't even understand
guys.
Myself.
Excellent, guys. No, it's good. It's good. I played that because you guys are spitting the truth. Okay, so let's start ending the show right now, and let's get you to review your picks. And Pam, I know that you've got to get out of here real quick, so let's get you to go ahead and go through your – just quickly, give us your pick for the main event, the co-main event, and give us your spotlight fight of the night again real quickly. Pam, floor is yours.
Okay, my my spotlight fight was Steel, and I am going with Derek Lewis with the second round TKO, and Derek Brunson with a decision.
All right, Pam. Thank you very much for your time. I'm going to let you go now because I know that you need to get to your husband, pick him up. I know you said you had extra time, but I'm just going to let you go and make sure that you get there on time because I said I would. And I'm just going to play you out with your music. So thank you very much, Pam. Have yourself a great night. If you've got any last comments, please send them down.
No, I got to go change out of my pajamas and put on decent clothes.
Gotta look good, man. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Y'all have a good evening. Thank you.
Thank
Bye.
You. Appreciate it.
Peace out.
Bye-bye. All right. Well, thank you very much, Pam. We appreciate your 2 cents worth, of course, on our Smack My Picks Up show. Marco, let's have you review your picks, and then please end the show properly. And then I will just add some voice on the end. But please end the show properly, and then we'll let you go. So give your picks, and then please end the show proper.
Okay, I got Derek Lewis, knockout on the third. I got that bud, Dan Kelly, with a unanimous 29-28 decision. And I got Tim Elliott on a freaking exciting win. Don't know how. I don't care. I want Tim Elliott to win. Follow Produce at @Produce. Follow me at Maldo Marco. Follow Pana Pandora Box. Follow the podcast at Another MMA Cast. Find us in iTunes, Google, Blog Talk Radio. Rate and review us because that helps the show. Thank you guys for listening. We gotta leave you guys. Catch you guys next week. Enjoy the fights.
All right. Thank you very much, Maldo Marco, at Maldo Marco on Twitter, at Pandora Box with 2 X's on Twitter. And of course, follow the Boss Man on Twitter. I'm DJ Tony. Well, guys, I promised that everybody that I would get out of here in an hour. And we did it. We actually did it. We got everything done in time. I mean, there was a big, big conversation that we could have had about the TJ Dillashaw, Demetrius Johnson fight. But you know what, guys? We did talk about that on Monday on at NorCal Fight MMA, and I would appreciate if you guys go check out Dave Madden and check out his show. Especially if you're in California, especially if you're in Northern California. I know DJ Tony usually ends this show with bye, 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 but I'm going to go ahead and inject a little bit of rock into the end of this show. That seems to be the feel of tonight's show, is kind of breaking out, being your own person, defying the odds. Anyway, thank you very much, everybody, for tuning in. Smack My Picks Up. We will be here again next Wednesday, picking fights for, I believe it's a Fight Pass show coming up with Holly Holm. And that's going to be something because it's, you know, all on Fight Pass. So Holly Holm versus Betch Ohea. So we'll be here to do that pick show. I will not be doing a Proteus's primetime show tomorrow because we've pretty much covered the news right now. The major news, of course, is TJ versus DJ not happening, and the UFC kind of forcing that upon DJ, Demetrius Johnson. And I agree with both guys. As I said earlier on, well, I agree with Pam and I agree with Marco. Demetrius Johnson does not have to take that fight. So What else is happening? I mean, we've had a lot of talk. John Jones, Daniel Cormier, heating up. Alexander Gustafsson putting his name in the hat. And, of course, Jimmy, the paperboy, as they like to call him on the Co-Main Event podcast. Getting into that that discussion as well, whether or not he's going to get that fight. Who's next for the champion at light heavyweight? Anyways, guys, I wanted to thank you very much. Marco said it correctly. Follow us at Another MMA Cast. Follow myself at Proteus. I am the host of the show tonight. Follow the regular host of the show on Smack My Picks Up. I'm DJ Tony. Follow at Maldo Marco, at Pandora Box, at NYK MMA. That's our boy Lerone coming at us live from the MMA Junkie Gathering this past year. And you know what, guys? I'm gonna look for the drop right now, because I was talking too much. I got too in love with my own voice. My wife is laughing at me for not being ready for this bullshit. So here you go, guys. Just like that.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.